Of the rap game. Woo! Ever since I hit him with that dirt track thing. Yeah. Now nationwide, everybody knows my name. They're like, mama, that's Kenny Montgomery. He sings that song we like. Yeah, boy, that's me. Roll out the trailer, I'm flossing. Huh. Them Hoosier tires glossing. Yeah. Them cold kind, we're tossing. Right. They know I came to wreck it, yet I rarely bring out a caution. Get it. I hit the high side. Boy, I park it for Brian Clausen. I do them like...
Welcome to Throttled Up, the podcast. Throttled Up will be a weekly podcast featuring Matt and Dustin. We plan to discuss the legendary Brownstown Speedway, along with other local dirt tracks, Eldora, Salem Speedway, and all of your IndyCar and NASCAR news. Don't miss an episode of Throttled Up, the podcast.
Hey, Mo, are you going to win it? Uh-huh. Yeah, I hope y'all brought some stamps, because y'all know I'm about to send it on it. Dirt. I'm all about that dirt. I'm throwing dirt. I miss that dirt. Gotta get back to it. I'm a dirt trackaholic. Call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that dirt.
Welcome back to Throttled Up, the podcast. Full house here in studio again tonight. Exciting episode. Ready to get started here, but before we introduce everybody that's with us, let's talk about our sponsors a little bit. First and foremost, let's talk about Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee. Matt, big night coming up for them this Saturday night at Brownstown Speedway. It is Schaefer Photos and Custom Tees night, and they have a ton of things planned.
I think they're doing what, the snow cones until they go away. Am I right about that?
Yeah, it's got, let's see here, free snow cones from 5 to 7 p.m. Yep. While supplies last. Giving away...
two sets of Jackson 100 tickets.
Yeah, and that is going to be part of the donor challenge, racing for donors. And it's not really just the two sets from them, because it incorporates us here at Throttled Up, but also our other sponsor in the FastLaneProductions.com.
So that's six sets in one night going to be given away there.
Six sets. You want to explain how they can win those, Matt?
Everybody at the races will get one ticket to put in to be drawn out to win a set. If you're a donor, you got to show your driver's license and show that you are a donor. Then you will get a second chance. You'll get a second ticket to put in. And we'll draw one set out for each of our businesses here for the everybody, and then we'll draw a set out of the donor set. So the donors all get two chances to win the Jackson 100, and that's for the weekend. That's Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, totally free set of tickets. You and a friend, a significant other, are going to the Jackson 100 either on Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee, Throttled Up, the podcast, or in the FastLaneProductions.com.
Yes.
So, our second sponsor in the FastLaneProductions.com, obviously, we have Nathan Bowling with us here again. You said before we got started, Nathan has about got as many episodes in as us. And
got a few.
We appreciate him. He also brought kind of the legend of
we have the legend,
the
in
Bowling
house.
Family in Bronze Bobby with us too. So we appreciate those guys coming out. We appreciate all that in the Fast Lane Productions does for us.
KFC's new extra crispy kernel.
I think we've invited Bobby on every episode we've had, and we finally got him on. Yeah. So that's a positive.
Well,
so
thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And I'm going to try and get through all of these sponsors tonight without losing my mind. This last week it went derailed.
That's better than your new nickname.
Well, hang on. Let's save it. Let's save it.
No. Oh, no. Hey, we'll get to that. Browns. We'll get to that.
Also, we've got Brown Sound Speedway and Jim Price. And again, can't say enough about what Jim has done for us in supporting us in the podcast and letting us do some things at the track. And I really appreciate everything that he has done. Again, get out to Brown Sound Speedway this Saturday night for Schaefer Photo and Custom T Night. Miller's Termite and Pest Control. Miller's Termite and Pest Control is the only place you need to look for pest control. Don't get roped into contracts or high prices with the big companies. Reach out to someone who truly cares about you. They can be reached at Facebook on Miller's Termite and Pest Control. Email at peace_n_peace@yahoo.com or by phone at 812-767-5657. Also, Billy Badfast Performance. Four racers, by racers. Billy Badfast Performance is your source for new and used racing parts and supplies. They are currently stocking Schaefer's oil products and front and rear bumpers and door bars for your late model or modified. If they don't have it, they can find it. Give them a call today at 502-517-9393. Also, Tommy Taylor, Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance. Tommy is an agent at Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance. He can provide you with auto, home, life, commercial, farm. Does it with a personal touch that you just can't get with other insurance companies. For any insurance needs you may have, Tommy has the capability to provide you with the right amount of coverage. Tommy's not just a sponsor of the podcast. He is my personal insurance agent, and I cannot recommend him enough. Finally, P3 Graphics is one of Indiana's premier suppliers for motorsports wraps and apparel. P3 Graphics offers great pricing along with some of the best customer service in the industry. Give us a try on your next project. You won't be sorry. You can contact us via email, phone, or on Facebook on the P3 Graphics page. Find out more on www.p3graphics.com. Matt?
Our comments are not uploading here.
I know. I don't know that I can make happen. I'm working on a couple others. But you're talking about even on the phone?
I kind of figured it'd happen tonight.
We got on the phone. It's updating on the phone, so yeah, we'll get there. So
this may not have got. It may not be working the way it has in the past. So,
gotcha.
All right, so Matt, I'm going to turn it over to you to introduce all of our guests tonight.
We just had the rain hit because I don't know if you guys can hear it through the microphones, but it is pouring rain here in Crothersville. But in studio tonight, and I verified out of Tampico, Indiana, it is going to be Hidden Magic Rick Gum.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Rick, we appreciate you coming out, and we're really excited to get a chance to talk to you tonight for sure. So, Rick, I'm gonna start, before we get into everything else that's kind of come up here, I'm going to just start with a simple fact of why did you get into racing? Why is this a passion of yours?
Well, my dad had raced through the 60s and 70s, and of course I was born mid 70s, and my dad was racing at the time, but he had quit by 80, and so like my 5 years of life my dad had raced, and I guess it's just something that was just absolutely born into me. I don't know. I mean, it was just something I had to do, and I didn't, you know, as I grew up, I wanted to race. I mean, and they wouldn't let me. Basically, I mean, they just wouldn't let me. And finally, I wore my parents down enough that I finally got to go-kart racing when I was like 16, 17 years old, finally. And that's where it all started.
How long did you stay in the go-karts?
I raced go-karts until, about 4 years. And then I went to, my dad, once I got the ball rolling with him, it was good. So we went go-kart racing for a while, and went about 4 years, 3 or 4 years. And then my first race car, I ran a mini stock at Louisville Motor Speedway, which is not there anymore.
Right.
But I raced on asphalt when I ran a entire year at the Louisville Motor Speedway. My best finish was second in a feature, which is a long story, man, but it's pretty tough to do good down there. There 50-plus cars show up, yeah. Top deal. And I won the Rookie of the Year, and I finished in the top 10 points. And that's what everybody told me when I started racing. If you finish top 10 points, you get to go to the banquet. Well, who gives a shit about a banquet? Okay? But this banquet was a NASCAR-sanctioned banquet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This was a big deal. And I didn't care. I mean, I didn't. I mean, I was a kid. I mean, I didn't care. I wanted to win. I didn't care about that. And Bobby went with me, and it was a deal. I mean, once I got there, it was like, wow, this is really something.
Suit ties and
it was for real. I mean, so I got to go on stage a couple times to do that deal because I won the Rookie of the Year. I was in the top 10, and that's what everybody shot for, and. We done that, and then the following year, I was working at Mastersville at the time, and the following year, we built a new modified.
And that's what brought you to the dirt, then?
Yes, that's what got me to the dirt. I took a car. I bought it from Keith and Taylor. It was Ronnie Johnson, and actually, I don't know why I cut it up, because it was a really good race car. It was a car that Ronnie Johnson had won the Dirt Track World Championship with. And I cut it up, put a clip on it, and I went modified racing. And then the following year, started my chassis business.
I was going to really ask when you started your own chassis business there. So
it was the following year. I was still working at Mastersbuilt. And Darren Trabue and I started... We called it like G&T chassis at the time.
Okay.
And we built some cars. We built a car for Randy Petro. He won several big races, done really well. Unfortunately, the whole program didn't work out. Long story short, I ended up moving to Tampico, and Gum Chassis
became
Gum Chassis.
Now, your race shop, your chassis shop, but actually...
Yes, it's I'm there because of this guy beside me.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's why it's cool that Bobby showed up. The connection there in Tampico between Bobby and your race shop there. So
Bobby is my uncle. Nathan's my cousin. Ryan's my cousin. But I can't. It's unbelievable the support that they've given me over the years, and I'll never be able to thank them enough, ever.
That's keep cool. Winning.
Hey, Bobby, I just want to point out here real quick, I think you may be the most popular person we've ever had on. Derek Bottoms has already said bronze. Yep. Bobby in the house, and Keith Sparkman says you're more bronze than the Colonel Sanders guy on the Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial. So
hey, as long as you keep talking about Bobby, I'm fine.
So, Rick, I'm waiting.
I know what you're getting ready to do, but that's fine.
No, actually, this is 2 weeks in a row. I'm going to just totally be lost. But obviously, being a chassis builder and the stuff you've done there, you're trying to build a car to get the most speed you can for a driver. What's the difference, though, of being in the driver's seat? How do you think that's helped you as a chassis builder?
Sometimes not, actually, to be honest with you. What I've done, all right, we'll go back to the beginning here. when I decided to build the super stock stuff, I decided to build a coil spring car. When I done it...
We'll save that one for me. Yep. That's got to be a good
Chad,
story.
Hang on, because we'll ask that just in a second.
I can answer that question. And you helped. But anyways, I built these cars. I decided to do something different, and I done it. And I built this cool spring car. And it didn't pan out right off the bat, but we worked on it. We got it better. And now everybody's cool spring, basically. You know, 90% of the field. So I spent so much time trying to get that going, I spent less time on me driving and me working, you know, on myself. And like I said, it's just, I'm so happy with the cars I've built and so happy with what I've done. But also, it's hard to be both. It's hard to be the chassis builder and the driver.
Right.
And so I've kind of give up the driving part of it as much to keep the chassis business going. Well, what I've done now is I'm more worried about the driver and not so much about the I feel like I've proven enough on the chassis side of it. We're getting in the right direction now. So I want to drive a little bit better. And this Pure Stock, I love driving it. It's fun. I'm having a blast in it. It's due to because I'm worrying about me right now. I'm not worrying about everybody else, you know.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I want all my race cars to be fast. I want all my race cars to win. But, damn it, sometimes I got to worry about me for a little bit.
All right, we're going to go there. What Stapleton talking about stealing cars?
All right.
Anytime if Stapleton's involved, it's got to be pretty decent.
Well, I don't know what the hell he was thinking that night.
I wonder if I can disable his comments so he can't defend himself.
Nah, go ahead and let him do it. We was at the Jackson 100 one night.
Oh, I know all about that. This is the water truck story, isn't it?
No.
Because you guys stole that to go too, didn't
you? No, I did not have anything to do with that one. I did not. And I went to him and told him, don't involve me in this one. He stole the water truck, and he parked it at my pit. Is what he done.
I remember that night.
Yeah, he parked it in my pit because the brakes didn't work. He's like, I can't stop. And I said, you better. And I did not have anything to do with that one. Now, we did. You know what? somehow, Steve Barnett's car got stolen one night. And pushed to Scott Blomquist's trailer. Now, I didn't ride the four-wheeler. I did not ride the four-wheeler. That's all I can say.
So you was in Barnett's seat?
I don't know. I plead the fifth on that one. Steve Barnett called me about it, though. Hell, Stapleton, goddamn, admit it now. He retired.
Oh, that's good.
Gonna be all right. I mean, if you really want to get into details about it, we can get into details. Or not. That's going to take a whole other show.
Yeah, we probably not.
I'll have to come back next week.
We'll have to bring Stapleton on
That'd be a good idea.
I don't know if we can be Facebook Live.
We definitely have to put a delay on that one.
Yeah.
We need a beep button.
So you're innocent on the water truck theft, but...
Yeah, I didn't have anything to do with that.
Barnett's car, you might have had a...
I was watching it.
That's, I got you. Yeah.
Watch what this says.
Melted the tarp to the headers, he said, so...
That's because you started it.
He says you couldn't figure out how to start it.
You're right.
Oh, my.
This is like the most viewers you ever had on here.
Yeah, it is. It is. I don't know.
They're all just waiting, you know. What was that, Bobby?
Nothing.
I just got to get it back collected because.
Oh, man.
Take a commercial break.
That was priceless. All right. I don't even know where to go.
You built your modified from Ronnie Johnson's late model. That's what put you in the dirt.
That's what got me started.
So, how long did you race that modified?
A year. I ran a season. And then we started basically what would be Gump chassis now. And we built some modifieds. Like I said, Darren Treby and I had built some race cars. We actually sold some cars. And like I said, I built a car for Randy Pietro. He won some big modified races with it. Done really well. Got us going. Didn't pan out. And I moved on. But, you know, just that what that little span we done, I mean, we done really well. I mean, Randy won some races.
Right.
Some, you know, and it was a good time back then because race cars weren't what they are today.
Right.
You know, it was a lot, I ain't going to say easier, but... And I can guarantee you one thing, it's a hell of a lot harder to drive in than they are now. But, that's what started what I do.
Why were they harder to drive? Technology?
Yeah, technology. Technology. Back then, you could build all kind of engine you wanted. You couldn't build a suspension.
Hmm.
Like you can today.
So do you think setting the car up today has gotten more difficult because of the technology, but easier to drive? Because there's so many adjustments you have today where before it was more feel and...
Not necessarily. I mean, to be honest with you, no, not necessarily. Because actually, there's so many tools out there to help you make your race car good. But the thing about it is, if you don't know exactly how to use those tools, you can't... I mean... You're going to have an ill handling race car. And technology is also hurting us. I mean, I'm kind of saying I'm going backwards here, but what we done years ago, the cars were like overpowered, no traction. Now, they're you can get over traction
and no
enough power.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and there's so much technology out there now that if you don't know how to use that, you can't. You know, you're going to have an ill-handling race car.
Ryan told us to ask you about the trip to Richmond with Crockett.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, that's going to take the rest of the night. All right.
Here we go.
Oh, boy. That is the first time I ever went to a racetrack, and I won the feature. I didn't get my picture taken, hardly. I didn't get a trophy. I didn't get paid. And we drove 4 hours back up.
Yep. No kidding.
Yep. All right. This Paul Crockett was, he's my idol. I mean, he was just somebody that he came to the shop a lot and hung out. And, you know, Bobby helped him back when he was a kid. And
20 years.
20 years. You know, and just Paul was just such a good guy, and he did he literally, and what had happened was which Ryan brought this up in a newspaper article here, 14 years ago I won the fair race, in my modified, and I'd won a race, well Paul showed up in my shop Monday afternoon or evening. And I was kind of working on the car and everything. And he's like, where are we going to go this weekend? Where are we going to go? Well, actually, the racetrack was closed the following weekend after the fair that year. And I said, hell, I don't know. We'll go somewhere. I don't care. We'll go. You know. And we talked about it. And I was like, well, I ain't been to Richmond this year. I was like, I ain't been down there either. I said, okay, we'll go. So... I truly did not believe he'd show up, actually.
Oh, really?
You know, and my Bobby talked to him and stuff. I said, I didn't think he'd actually. And sure enough, of course, my nature, I'm late. I'm always late. So we're running late. And Paul shows up with his little cooler. And he always had a jacket and a little cooler every time. Every time. That's why he walked into Brownstown Speedway when he watched. And... sure enough, he shows up, and we get the car ready, and we haul ass to Hope On.
You're fine. You're fine.
So we haul ass to Richmond, Kentucky. Wide open. Yeah. Now he's talking. He's jabbering. Paul could talk. And he talked all the way to the Kennedy Bridge. And then he shut up.
Yep. When we about took that bumper off of that truck.
But anyway, we got down there. We're rolling with a joint. I draw one. Put me on the pole of the heat race, one heat race. But we broke the car doing it. And, of course, it was Bobby and Rob Claycamp, good friend of mine. Ryan Bowling was with us. And Paul Crockett. And, of course, Rob was panicky. He panicked. He's, what are we going to do now? We're done. I said, nah, we'll figure something out. So we did. And actually, we done something there that nobody thought we could pull off. Started on pole that race. And went in the corner and pushed up and ended up six when I come off that corner. And I hung in there. And it was actually a last lap off turn four pass. I passed the guy. I won the race.
By half a fender.
I went down the back stretch. They was flipping me off. They was throwing stuff at me. It was bad. He got bad. But I looked up in the grandstands and Paul Crockett was jumping straight up and down. I mean, by crackies, that was a race. Yeah. By crackies, that was a race. And just doing that right there. That right there. That night right there. Oh, well, always. I don't have no memories of it as far as a picture, a trophy. Nothing. They finally did pay me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was 3-4 weeks later. They finally paid me. But I have no... I wish... We did go to Victory Lane. We did get a picture taken. They didn't want to take it. They didn't even want to scale the car.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They didn't even want to... I mean, they didn't want to do nothing. And so anyways, we got that. But... The only thing I got out of that thing right there is I don't have no pictures, but I got a damn good memory of Paul Crockett with me, and I won the damn race.
I'll add to something to that Rick left out. We was going down there. Of course, he was running 80 and 90.
Ryan says 85.
And well,
he averaged.
And we pulled into the filling station to get some gas. And Rick was pumping the gas. Him or Rob won, and I went around the trailer looking at the tires, come back around to the side, and Paul was standing over there, and he come back there behind the car, and he looked at me real funny, and you know, Paul Crockett's drove some fast race cars. Oh, yeah. He looked at me, and he said, I don't know about you, but he said, he's scaring the piss out of me.
Paul's probably wishing he had a driver's suit and his helmet.
Yeah.
At least a helmet. Yeah.
He was a good guy, though.
Yeah. What people don't realize is that guy, he would come. I could count on him several times a year to come by the shop and hang out. And the stories I could. I grew up, my dad was taking me to his barbershop when I was a baby, you know.
Oh, wow.
And I grew up around this guy. You know, he helped him. He grew up with him, and he helped him race. And what people don't understand is some of these guys that I've been, I really, truly, Paul Crockett was really something to me. I mean, he really was. Yeah. And the day that, you know, the day they put him down, we raced that night, and I had a roof. I still got the roof in my garage. It's got most of his numbers, I think, best we could come up with.
Oh, really?
On the roof. And I still have I have that roof. And I carried that roof that night. I was running a super stock that night. And I got to carry the flag in tribute to the... he was something. I mean, that guy was before stagger. That guy was before tire compounds.
Right.
That guy was before setups.
Yeah.
You know, that you take a four jack your rear end up, if this wheel's touching and this wheel's not, we're good to go type deal. And that's the way
it used to be.
Yeah. You know, that's how it used to be.
Well, we had weight jacks in the front, and you adjusted your rear end with the shackles.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. And
My first time to Brownstown was about the same year you was born, Rick. So, you know, I remember those days of, you know, watching Paul race. And
I just...
Rick's biggest paying win came at Scottsburg Fairgrounds.
Yeah, Ryan was my scorer that night, I think.
Yeah, that was a bad night. I remember that one. So I was tire changer. Tried to be.
getting back to Paul.
I have won a Hornet race.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did win one Hornet race. First one I ever entered.
Was that the one at Scottsburg?
Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah. The only thing is, they paid $1,000 and that check did not bounce.
Oh, really?
Getting back to Paul, though, I've got a good one. We would, I was a senior in high school, and we would take off, or I would take off school at noon, get sick. He'd already have car loaded up. We'd take off, and we raced. On Friday night, we'd race at Somerset, Kentucky. And then Saturday night, we'd race at Richmond. And Sunday afternoon, we'd race at Clay City. And Sunday night, we would race at Frankfort.
Wow.
Well, we were down at Somerset, and Paul had broke the bones in his right hand, and he had done a little modification to the cast, and anyway he run second to Butterball Woodridge down there, but before the feature started, this helicopter come in, and nobody knew who it was. Well, it ended up being J.W. Hunt.
Oh, wow.
He owned a big strawberry farm down in Plant City, Florida. Well, Paul run second to Butterball that night, and Mr. Hunt come over, and he had a big bottle of wine, and he come over and introduced himself, and he said, want you guys to take a drink of this $50 wine. So we took a little snort, and he reached down in his pocket, and he reached up in Paul's uniform, and he put something down in his uniform there, and he said, my opinion, he said, you won that race tonight. Well, we got loaded up that night, and we was headed back to Richmond, and if we had a good night, we'd get a room. If we didn't, we'd sleep at a roadside park under the car or truck or whatever. But we was going to go get a room, and we was going up the road, and Paul told me, he said, reach over here in my racing uniform and see what that bird put in there. And I reached in there and pulled it out, and he turned the interior light on, and I counted it out, and it was $450.
No kidding.
That J.W. Hunt give Paul for winning that, or running second in that race.
Wow.
And he said, boy, we're going to eat good this weekend.
Rick, my brother wants to know why you went from 113 to 88.
That's your brother?
Yep, that's my brother.
I'll be damned. I've known him for a long time. Actually, I'm just driving for Ryan. Right? I mean, this is Ryan's race car. There'll be a super stock coming out soon. It'll have an 88 on it. That's Ryan's car. When I race what we build for myself, we'll have the 113 on it. So I've not changed my numbers. I've just, like I said, I mean, the car has Ryan Scott's name on the roof. I don't know. We're going to have to get him in a seat. I mean, we got to get him going here, but I can't thank him enough for what he does. He keeps saying he don't want to race very much. He just wants to race a couple times a year, whatever. I don't know what I'm going to have to beat him, I guess. I don't know what we got to do, but actually the 88 is Ryan, and that was, I think, his dad's number, and that's why we got 88 on the car, the 113 will hit the track sometime.
Oh yeah,
it'll get back on there. But, hey, you know what? I don't notice that number when I get in Victor Lane.
Here we go.
Shots fired. Yeah.
If anybody else has any questions, just feel free to chime in there. Let's go ahead and open that can of worms right up. Yeah. So.
Yeah, we didn't wait. We're just going to get right in.
We waited 32 minutes before we offered
I'm actually surprised we was not.
I'm going to be honest. We opened it up with Hidden Magic, I think.
I thought we was going to get there.
I think we kicked the door wide open.
All right. Ryan is listening, as well as myself and Kennedy. I'm glad you guys are listening.
But, yeah, anything you guys got to ask, you know, Rick or, you know, Bobby... Bobby probably has more history than anybody I can think of to tell about, you know, Brownstown and all that. So, you know, just feel free and fire away there.
Rick, what is, of all the time in racing, building chassis, driving, you know, helping people, what's your favorite memory?
Oh, boy. My first win was big to me. My first win came at Bardstown, Kentucky. That racetrack's no longer in existence. that was a big. But back to the story we was just telling. That Richmond deal. With having a hero of mine with me. And we won that race at Richmond, Kentucky, and it's 2004. I won the fair race, and then we went right to Richmond, won that race. That was big. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've talked to a lot of race car drivers. I've talked to a lot of really good race car drivers, but I grew up around Paul Crockett. You know, even if I wasn't involved in racing, he cut my hair. I'd go get my hair cut, and he'd give me a trophy. He'd give me a model of his car. Every time I went to get my hair cut. I mean, as a kid. I'm talking like little. Wow. And Paul has always been that person to me. And for Richmond was a big deal. Big deal. Even though we left there with no trophy. No money. Got flipped off. Got stuff thrown at us. I mean, it was good. That's definitely one of my biggest.
Matt's brothers ask, who's your favorite driver you've been able to work with?
Me.
I'm just kidding. Be honest, I about spit my drink out on that one right there.
No, actually, you know what? Randy Petro. To be honest with you, Randy Petro, the Petro family, Randy and Russ taught me so much over the years. You know, back in the early days when we was building car, and, you know, they know how to win. I mean, they know how to win. I mean, they just know how to do it. And it's a mental thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
And they're mentally strong about it. And, you know, working with Randy and Russ, yeah, I mean, that's probably, you know, I hate to pinpoint one person because I've worked with a lot of people. I don't want to shortcut anybody here.
Right.
But I've loved working with, you know, hell, I like dealing with Jack Fry. he's a good dude. I like a guy. I mean, sometimes, you know, at times, well, he's finally getting smooth on that slick stuff. He's finally getting his act together there. I like that. He's really getting there. And but no, I mean, there's a lot of guys I liked working with, but definitely the Randy Petro and Russ and him. I really did. You know, enjoy working with him. I totally enjoyed working with Jeremy Hines and Rick and that family. Oh, yeah. I can't shortcut. I mean, they were, you know, Jeremy was definitely, he helped Gum Chassis, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He did. I mean, and I can, you know, still good friends. I mean, we can talk each day, you know, if we want to. But Yeah, there. I mean, I don't know. That's a hard question to answer, but yeah, I mean, the Petros I've known longer, as far as that goes, and they help me get mentally to where I'm at, basically on how you race, because I mean, I'm telling you right now, that family right there, there's a way you do it. Now the Hineses are the same way. I mean,
yeah,
you know, working with them. I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm answering this question very good at all. But I like working with anybody that's willing to work with me.
Smartman brought up you doing campgrounds at 100 mile at the World 100 cruise the campgrounds, and then Ryan says you had the year you had the hood ornament. So
this is too G-rated for that.
About that one, taking out Blinkist.
Oh, I was going to bring that up.
I cannot believe we got this far to this one.
You're probably one of the only guys that's ever parked him on top of a tire on the inside of the corner.
I did not park him on that. And you can ask Ryan Bowling, I was pissed off over that. But anyway. Hometown, really? 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 We got to go there, huh? Where's Braden Watson at?
He was on here, what, two episodes ago. Yeah. And he says,
they don't sell pizza after 9 o'clock.
I remember when you guys went out there, man, it seemed like a really good time there.
It was. I mean, to be honest with you, the first day sucked. Which, of course, we left late. We didn't get
sure not.
I don't know why. Ryan, I don't know what Ryan had going on. He couldn't. Car was ready to go.
I'm so impressed he was here early and we started on time. Yeah, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. We had 10 minutes to spare and got to talk for a minute, you know. So
lights must have went out uptown.
Yeah. They were getting ready to. They flickered and I said, I'm out of here. Got to go. The St. Louis deal, that was an experience that was really good. That was cool. I mean, to roll in that joint. I hated it the first night because, of course, we left late. And me and Ryan Bowling, we get over there but midnight. Well, you can't unload at midnight. You know, you got to wait till 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, man.
And you got to unload 7 o'clock. You got 7 to 8 or whatever it was. So we go to the hotel room. We get up next morning. Of course, a little sleep. Well, we go to unload. Well, unloading means you push everything.
So nothing, no.
You can't drive it. So you push it inside the building. You can't pull your trailer in like they told us we could.
Oh, man.
We couldn't do that. So we pushed in to the deal, and so we do this, and of course now we've pretty well worked our butts off.
Oh yeah,
you know, between 7, 8, 9 o'clock, we get everything in there. All right, you guys got to leave for an hour, and then we're gonna reopen the pits so you can come in. So we go eat breakfast, and so we're right back in there. We're getting everything settled up, and this goes on. I ran that heat race at like 2 a.m.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, when that whole deal happened, it was like 2 a.m. And when I got out of the car, I was mad. I mean, I was over it. I mean, who wouldn't be?
Right.
You know, and the whole deal was I actually was passing cars to – I kind of got to a place I might have made a B. And the whole deal with Blomqvist happened. And, yeah. I mean, hindsight now is funny. But I'm telling you right now, I was livid when it was. And Ryan, I'll never forget Ryan's face. He walks over and he's got this look on his face. He's like, I'm like, that son of a. Ryan, he ran Paul on top of my nose. And I was like, God. I was beside him. Why'd he do that? You know, why? We was passing. We was going forward. He's like, dude, that's Blomqvist. And I was like, don't care. I'm mad right now.
Did he come and say anything to you?
No.
Really?
He loaded up and went to the house,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. No, he parked it. I don't think he's been in one since. But what people don't know is, I mean, unless you've seen the video, I mean, there's no good video of it, right. Actually. But I actually had him up on two wheels. If I wouldn't have lifted, I'd have dumped him over. You know, so I did lift. I did.
Did you have to think about it?
Well, yeah. All right, here's the deal. Here's what people don't realize is I didn't. It wasn't him. It was a car.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
It was. I didn't care. I mean, I start to tell this race. We go through one, two, and I pass a couple cars. I'm like, man, you know, and then he's in front of me, and he goes into three high. I go, I mean, I hook the bottom. I'm sitting on the bottom, and here he comes down. Of course, oh, yeah, I'm going to blame him. But anyways.
Typical racer. Yeah,
right. So anyways, he comes down, and I'm like, oh, we're going to hit. But I don't even give a shit who it is.
You're fine.
And I don't care. And we smack. I thought we was going to smack. Honestly, I thought we was going to smack doors and go down straight away together. We smacked doors. I tell you right now, that guy had a monster of a motor in that thing because he throttled that thing up and went plump over my nose. And I literally had him turn on his two tires, and I lifted. I quit. I mean, I don't want to turn nobody
right,
over.
Right.
I don't want to do that, no matter who it is. And I lifted. And my motor's chugging. So he's cutting into the infield, spinning around. Apparently his shoulder hurt really bad that night. But so I lifted and my motor's dying.
That may have started it.
Yeah, right, probably. And I hold that thing to the floor because we got a bunch of gear in the car because we're, you know,
yeah.
It's like racing inside this building.
Oh, yeah.
And, or at least around it. And so I'm to the floor, and I watch these cars I just passed pass me back. So I'm thinking they're going to be a caution because that guy right there, he's wrecking. What's he do? He comes back on the racetrack. He spins around like twice in front of me. I finally get around him while he's humping the Uke tire in one. And finally, but there's no caution. It's an 8-lap heat race and a racetrack that's in a gymnasium. So I get back. I literally get back, and I get one spot out of a B. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And I could care less who it was.
Right.
At that point in time. I mean, I'm ticked. So
you think that's where the original shoulder injury happened, was right
probably,
there?
Probably. Probably. That's probably when he was humping at Uke tire. Hope he sees this. Best episode ever.
Hashtag trending.
I can't even read from back here now.
I don't know where you at now. Guarantee it, Chad. Thank you, Chad.
Oh, man.
That was rude, says James Martin.
Who did?
James Martin said that was rude.
Must be a Blue Quest fan. Hell, I like the guy, too. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's the best ever, but damn it, he can't drive a modified.
But that night, he was on
at
the
least
wrong
that
nose.
Night. At least that night. I shouldn't say, I'll take it back. He couldn't that night. His shoulder was hurting really bad.
Probably had slipped off the trailer tongue, yeah. Be my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, when he was getting any step on the
I
trailer
wish there was a good video of that whole deal, because I'm telling you right now, I was dumbfounded. Really honest tonight. What was that?
Just don't tip a camper over and you'll be fine, Chris Gambrel.
Nah, we won't do that. We'll just cut the wire.
Oh, man.
Hashtag Rick Gunn-takes. Thanks, Brent.
I don't think we're Donnie Baker material yet there, no. Sparkman. So.
I swear to God I did it.
All I know is my face hurts from laughing.
We're going to have to take a break. Zaya.
Oh, God.
Hey, let's touch base with what's going to happen Saturday while all our guests is going to the restroom again there. So Saturday night is going to be Schaefer Photo and Custom Tees night at Brown Sound Speedway. From 5 to 7, they're going to give away free snow cones while supplies last. You all right?
I'm getting there.
Also, we're going to start that night with the racing for donors. We're going to give away the... 6 sets of Jackson 100 tickets. So, you know, make sure you get there and do that. Also, Bobby, we're going to start drawing for start the deal with the 2 doors, right?
Jackson 100.
You're going to give those away during the Jackson 100 weekend.
Yep.
Bobby reached out to Ann O'Neill, and there's going to be a Hudson O'Neill door and a Don O'Neill door that we're going to give away at Brown Sound Speedway Jackson 100 weekend. You have to be present that weekend to win them.
Autographed doors.
Be autographed, but you have to be there to win the things. You can't be sitting at home and get your name drawn. If you're not there, we're going to draw somebody else. And we talked before the show, and you can pick whether to put your name in the Hudson bucket or the Don bucket or both buckets, correct?
Correct.
Yes. So we got that stuff coming up there.
Well, and I'll be honest, that's such a cool deal, Bobby, that you set up to have those 2 doors there. And you know, 2 in the fast lane and Schaefer Photos and Custom Tee, what we were doing with the donor challenge and getting some Jackson 100 tickets. So there's the thing. You come out this week in the Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee, you're going to have a chance to win tickets to the Jackson, which would make you present there to win the autographed Hudson O'Neill and Don O'Neill doors.
Yes.
The only thing I could think would be better is if there was an autographed Bloomquist door from the modified he was driving.
Oh, yeah.
I got some friends in Tennessee. I'll see if I can pull something off.
It might be priceless.
I doubt it, but...
look at Ryan. Ryan taking shots.
What's he say? Brayden Watson?
Greater than Rick Gum.
Rick Gum.
Uh-oh.
Brayden Watson greater than me?
That's what it says. That's what your cousin...
Brayden Watson's not spun out Bloomquist. I spun out a Hall of Famer. Okay? Brayden's getting good. I like the kid. The kid's getting good.
It's not about races won, Ryan. Right. It's about who you spun out.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No. Hell no. and Hornet champion at Thunder Valley? Really?
Oh, that was a dig on Ryan right there.
I know what that was.
Yeah, that was straight to Ryan. So, what's your least favorite track? He asked. My brother asked again. I think Mike should come on the notes of this.
My least track. Oh man, I don't know if I have. I mean, man, I have raced a lot of racetracks. I got a lot of more favorites than I do. I don't know that I've never hated a racetrack. I mean, I'm like a racer. Anybody, I ain't never coming back here.
Right.
You know, I've left Brownstown. Said that. You know,
it's not the track's fault. Right, it's promoter. Right, he always had the track wrong.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That son of a. Anyway, but my least favorite track. I don't know that I have a least favorite track. To be honest with you, because I like to race. I mean, right, I really don't have a least favorite. Now I will tell you, one of the roughest racetracks I've ever been to in my life, believe it or not, was Florence.
Oh, really?
In 2002 or something, we went over for the fall or the spring 50 or 50, whatever, yeah. And they put new dirt on it, and the track was so rutted. I mean, we was there all night. I'm not blaming the Kings. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just it was
they
the
put
nature,
new dirt on. Yeah.
You know, it was just what happened. And I mean, I have sure. I'm just like anybody else. I'll never come back here. But
then you come back.
Yeah, we come back. So, but. And everybody does. So, but I ain't telling you no Bob Pierce stories. I got a lot of favorite tracks or a lot of tracks I like racing at more so than I don't have any. I'm just glad I got to race.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
What were some of those favorite tracks that you enjoyed racing?
I Well, okay.
Must not have been very many.
He said he had a lot. Yeah, I asked. Well, you know what? To be honest, I haven't found one yet.
Salem Speedway is one of my favorite tracks to race on. On the asphalt. It's one of my favorites. I like racing in Brownstown. North Vernon is not my least favorite, but I never did like that place until I won there. And then when you win there, you kind of like it.
True racer, yeah. True racer. Yeah.
But Bulls Gap, Tennessee. That place right there. But when I did get to race down there, it was badass. I mean, it was really bad. You run wide open next to the wall or next to the guardrail.
Bloomquist home track, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. If he'd have been there, I'd spun him. But Bardstown, Kentucky. I loved that place.
That was a great racetrack down there,
though. I loved that place. I used to like that bigger, high-speed type racetrack. Yeah. And then I growed up. And I'm okay with Brownstown. Every time I tried to go to Eldora, it rained out.
Oh, really?
Yep. So apparently something's telling me I can't go there to race. I don't know. Maybe I will get the chance. I don't know.
I'm assuming Bloomquist controls the weather over there. That's what I'm
talking about. Well, I think we need to do.
He controls the drug test.
What I think we need to do, though, is when Rick gets the modified done, is him and Jeremy Owens need to go over together, since Owens broke every rule at Eldora when he was there. So, they was ready to park him. So,
I hope I don't ruin your podcast.
No, no. You haven't ruined anything.
No, I think we're fine.
I'm going to say this, and this is kind of going a different, but what I'm seeing here is, and if we ever get the chance to talk to Bloomquist,
I call him if you want me to.
Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson this fall is going to play their one-on-one match play. I think we need a Rick Gum versus Scott Bloomquist one-on-one race.
Well, he will be at Brownstown in September.
He better bring Pierstock.
Then they can start talking about him.
let him be the cheater.
I went there.
You did.
Out of everybody in here, I went there.
Oh, man. Oh, thank you to Michael Staples for pulling us back around here.
Yeah.
How did you pick your number, 113?
Oh, God. actually, my original number was R2. And go ahead with the jokes. But the number two, it seems like everybody was kind of, I don't know. I was just going to the races. There was a lot of number twos. That was my original number. My dad gave it to me when I was a kid on my little goat card or whatever, so I stuck with it. So I decided to be me. I wanted to have my own number, and I decided, you know what? Not everybody has a three-digit number, and I like three-digit numbers. And I was born on the 13th, and there's nothing more unlucky than 13.
Right.
And so I thought, what the hell? Put another one in front of it and make a green 113. And that's how it all started. And that's how my first 113s were. They're all green. And then I finally realized that was really bad luck, but I don't want to lose my number, so we don't put green 113s on the car no more.
Then you started seeing more three-digit numbers, too.
Yeah. I started seeing more three-digit numbers.
But now you got the one small digit with the two large, mm-hmm. which I've never figured that one out yet. Why they?
I don't want to do that. I got 113. I want you to see it.
Well, and then after you went to 113, Jacoby went to 115.
Well, I'm not blaming it on him.
No.
Or me.
No. But the Heinzes, they got to work a five in there. All of them have a
five
in there.
They're all fives and 15s and god awful.
Yeah. Well, Jeremy's a 16 now, because.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's driving for Trowbridge. So. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, hell. No, I just done that. I just liked it. It was me. I wanted to do it for myself.
That's pretty cool, though. I mean, that's pretty awesome. Mike wants to know if you name your cars.
Can't tell you.
Hidden magic.
I like it.
All right. Well, hey, we're at about an hour. Let's
thank your sponsors. Let's see.
Yeah,
you...
absolutely. Good call.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I definitely got to thank Ryan Scott, Leah, and I couldn't do what I do if it wasn't for them and giving me the opportunity to have the equipment to play with and to do what I want to do. That what the thing about it is there's no questions asked. I mean, just, you know, do what we have to do, and that's what I try to do. Like I said, I kind of got wrapped up in the chassis building part of it to where I wasn't performing very good as a racer. And this beer stock, I mean, it's changed a lot of things for me. It's got me open back up to where, hey, you know what? You need to worry about yourself right now. You need to win races. This guy's paying the money. You need to do something.
Right.
And that's what I've been doing. And I can't thank him enough for what he does. And then we got Downs Garage, 710
transmissions,
AAA glass. Got to thank Kaiser.
I've heard him enough. I know him.
good. Would you spend them out there for me? But Kaiser Manufacturing, Integra Shocks, Shapers Photos, Tees, in the Fast Lane. And I guess now we'll put Throttled Up Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do that. So
I'm going to be honest. I'm also going to throw out, just from our podcast, I want to thank the Thirsty Sportsman and Crowley.
I meant to say that. The Thirsty Sportsman.
Get you fueled up for this.
Crowleyville, Indiana.
Hey, right on.
I'll be honest, though. Darn good food and always a cold beverage.
Yes.
Good stuff.
Yes.
What else we got here?
Ryan said, ask about the indoor midget race during PRI.
The finish of it.
Yeah. What finish did we see? I think it was at Brad's. Brandon. Oh, we got... All right. What was it, Brandon, right? Do you
remember the soggy bottom trip, he asked.
Oh, yeah.
White Castles.
Yeah, we ate White Castles. I swear to God, back then... I swear to God. we were in that when the Battle of Bluegrass Modified Series started. We done that in 2004, and everywhere we went in Kentucky, the only place we could eat at was a White Castle after the races. Oh, I mean, my truck smelled like White Castles for like 15 years. And
I bet that ain't all it smelled like. Yeah.
White Castle's going in, White Castle's coming out.
Yeah. And it might smell like a little bit of beer. Probably not. But I'll never forget, we ran out Soggy Bottom, which is called Cedar Ridge.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Cedar Ridge now. We was down at Soggy Bottoms. And
that's just a cool name for a racetrack.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway,
it's a cool place.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Soggy Bottoms. But when we came back, we was cruising back. Yeah, we cruised back to E-Town, and we had to get fuel for the truck. So all four doors kick out, and all four doors beer cans fall on the ground.
And White Castle boxes.
Well, there happened to be a White Castle across the highway right where we was at. Brandon, he was like, I'll get something to eat. So he walks across the street while we're gassing up and picking our beer cans up. Well, he comes back with two grave cases.
So 60 White Castles.
Yeah. And we get in a truck and we proceed to come home. And we done that every weekend, basically. Man. I mean, it was back then. It was a bunch of good times.
Did Derek Johnson ever drink beers?
He bought most of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, somebody asked where you're going to be at this weekend, and I'm assuming we
know. Probably going to be on a boat. Fish in the rain.
If it don't rain, where are you going to be at?
Brownstown. I mean, that's where we're at. So,
so
display case of Gatorade at the gas station.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another Brandon story.
Something we need to have Brandon on.
He was hotter. He was hot.
Yeah. It's going to have to be a weekend episode, I think.
I kind of like Ryan's idea of having throttled up the after show. You know, that's...
Yeah, remember, I got to go work in the morning. Yeah,
me too.
I know.
So...
Me too.
All right.
Any other questions? Let's get it out there.
Come on, somebody at least ask me something serious.
Well, tell us about the controversy at Brownstown. What's going on?
Well,
uh-oh.
All right.
I wish I had my sound effect board. I could play the dong.
Wah, wah, wah.
I don't know that there's controversy. You know, I understand everybody's concerns. Is that the best way I can put it?
I'm not your lawyer. I'm just the host of the podcast.
You know, I get that. You know, I get it. Nobody wants to see somebody come over and stink up the show. I get that. But like I said earlier, we talked about this, about my car. They teched it. They looked at it. And they looked at everybody else's stuff. And they deemed us as legal as everybody else that rose in that joint.
Right.
I'm not going to hide behind anything. By the rules, am I cheating? Yes. But by the rules, are they cheating? Yes. Everybody's doing the same thing. I done my homework. And what I done was 20 plus years of doing this, build a race car. I took a race car that I'd built almost 10 years ago. This car is not, this is not a brand new race car. I built this car for Brent Lee almost 10 years ago. Ryan bought it. The first time I drove it was 3 years ago. We showed up at Brownstown. We had a little issue. We took it home. It was like brakes, whatever. I can't remember what happened. We brought it back the next weekend. And me and a good buddy of mine, I'm going to call him a buddy, Combs, we freaking duked it out for the feature. He spun me. We both went to the tail, and we both ran second, third. And then the following week, I won. I only run that car. I mean, that car has not been raced that much, but that car is nothing more than anybody else's stuff. It just handles very, very well. And maybe I can drive a little bit. I don't know.
Well, after 20 years of it, you know, you're going to learn a thing or two, so.
What's the position of your panty bar? You know exactly what that position is.
You know, I do want to say this, Rick, on a serious note. I mean, we have had a blast tonight and had a ton of fun, but I appreciate you coming at that question the way you just did.
Yes, because, me too.
You know, I mean, we have joked before the show. I was the one that said, you know, called you Hidden Magic and the whole controversy.
I like that was
brought up with it, but I appreciate you saying, here's the deal. You know, this is the truth. I appreciate that. You have used 20 years of building race cars and learning to build a race car that's helping you get there. But you're right, too. You've raced a lot of race cars, and that's coming into play, too.
Right, there. Right. And, you know, I'm not putting anybody down here. I mean, it's not that. It's not that at all. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, the racetrack has helped me a bunch. Because I wouldn't have been that good the way the racetrack was earlier in the year.
When it was heavy.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, when the racetrack's like it is, so if you guys want to beat me, tip Price and tell him to water it.
Pull the plug on the dam.
Yeah, pull the plug on the dam. I mean, when that track, that's me. When I raced there, and when James Essex was the promoter.
It was always black and slick.
Black and slick. I grew up on this.
Roger Williams.
Yeah.
I grew up on this.
Yeah.
This is what I do.
Yeah, it was always black and slick. So, I mean, it's went back to old school Brownstown.
Right.
You know, the last several weeks.
So, I mean, everybody wants to, it's quick to judge. And I get that. That's fine. I mean, that's fine. I'll take it. I mean, Curly Dog, come here. I know what I'm doing.
Right.
And I've got a conscience about it. And I know my conscience is clean because I'm not doing anything else.
Right.
Anything more than anybody else. So, I'm good with it. And you know, I could sit here and preach till I'm blue in the face that I'm totally legal. I'm totally legal. I'm totally legal. And nobody out there will believe me.
Right.
And that's fine. So I don't do that.
Right.
I show up to win. That's what I'm there to do.
And you know, I actually expected more questions about that because, you know, I see.
Because they're scared to ask.
You know, I seen a lot of the Pure Stock drivers log on to listen.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, we'll get a
nobody
question.
Nobody wants to ask. Nobody wants to talk. I mean, nobody wants to ask me. They want to drive by me and look and judge me. But, hey, you know.
Hell, hey, well, you heard it here first. Throttled up the podcast. Didn't mind calling you and asking. So we.
Yeah. I liked it. Thanks for letting me put it out there.
Hey.
But you're an approachable person. Walk right up to you and talk to you.
Right.
That's a thing. So
I don't have anything to hide. I don't have anything to hide because you're not doing anything more than I've been doing.
Right.
I just put my I put my puzzle together a little bit better. Simple as that. I mean, but goddamn, I shouldn't. I mean, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
I can't sell race cars
running 20
if they can't go fast.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know. So hey, it's fine. I mean, I hate it. I did. I mean, I'll bend to it. I was pissed off the last time we raced, and I tried to prove a point. I did. I'll admit it. I'll admit it to everybody. And I did. Is that what I want to do? No, that's not what I want to do. I want everybody to be fast. But I'm the only car out there that I built, you know.
Right.
I mean, I built Clegg's car.
Right.
But the car that I'm in, I mean, I'm the only car out there. Now I've got a couple guys going to get new cars from me. And, you know, I want it. But
them to be fast.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. I'm not out to.
Right.
But I can be selfish for a little bit. Goddamn. Really? Shit.
Well, I think that's. I can't find a better spot to wrap up.
Yeah.
And I mean it, Rick. I mean, I think that, you know, we've had a lot of drivers on here, and I appreciate everybody, but, you know, we haven't had somebody that. The controversy's been around, and
sure, and
we don't want to be negative here.
No,
that's
no.
A big thing
no.
for
no,
Matt
yeah,
and I.
No, yes, very no. big.
Is no. We want to be positive and support
yep.
the sport, but
we actually was going to wait and see if it got brought up, and if it didn't, we was going to just ask that one question, and you answered it probably more honest than a lot of people would have even thought about asking. So you know, I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I appreciate you just being upfront with it. not being offended by that question. You know,
no.
It's out there. And
no, what you guys are doing is really badass. To be honest with you, what you guys are doing right here, just I mean, especially be like close to me, but just it's just really what you guys are doing for the local guys around here. I mean, to get the local racers see that. You know, this is the thing about it is I want. Everybody want to go to the races.
Oh yeah,
and if they can sit here and watch this a little bit and
pick your interest.
Everybody's all about this stuff. I mean,
yeah.
I'm old school. I don't care about all. I mean, I don't really get into. I mean, to be honest with you, I had to watch a couple things this today to realize what you guys were actually doing.
to be honest. We appreciate you watching.
That's okay.
Yeah. But I'm old school. I mean, you know, and the thing about it is it's just great that you guys are doing this. In a garage, right here around Crothersville.
Right.
Just doing this kind of stuff. And this is really great. I mean, this is good for our sport. And getting people in here and talking to them and getting the word out. And this is good.
Right.
And I'll do everything I can to help you guys out. I mean, I really will. I mean, this is cool. This is really good. When Ryan thought he wanted to do this video and all this stuff back however 3, 4, 5 years ago, whatever, I was like, man, do it. And it's turned into fast.
Oh, it's gotten bigger, yeah.
You know, and anything anybody can do to promote this, no matter who it is, it's great. And I appreciate you guys having me on. I appreciate the time we had tonight.
Oh, yeah, it was a good time.
And maybe we'll come back.
Well, you know, we always have the open, you know. Nathan shows up every chance he gets, you know, but, you know, he's just across the woods there. So it's, you know, it's a short drive for him. But, you know, thanks for coming. Thanks for telling us that, you know, our job is to make you guys look good. You know, that's why we did it was, you know, to cast the light on the local driver
we all appreciate, all the racers appreciate that. I guarantee you that.
Because I was like you when I was a kid, those was my heroes that raced around Brownstown Speedway. Right. You know, it wasn't the guys on Sunday in NASCAR. Right. It was Saturday night.
Yes.
So, you know, that's why we do it, and thanks for coming. Thanks. I just got to praise you for your honesty, man. I mean, that, you know, that was totally cool there that you addressed it like that. So
I also want to thank, you know, Bobby, you for coming tonight. We've tried to get you on several times, and we appreciate it. Nathan, as always, you know, you're welcome anytime. We appreciate you being here as well. I do want to shout out to our sponsors again, obviously, in the FastLaneProductions.com. I say it every week. If you guys have not gotten an account in the FastLaneProductions.com, you don't know what you're missing. I mean, it is, you know, if you can't make the races, there's not a better place to find out what happened. But I say it, and I've talked to people even off air about it. There's nothing like going to the race and be able to go back on Sunday and watch it again and see the things that you maybe missed. Get that subscription in the Fastlane Productions. Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee. Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee, night at the races.
Free, this Saturday.
Free snow cones from 5 to 7 or while supplies last. Get in the Racing for Donors Challenge. Bring up to the Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee trailer your license, get a ticket. You're going to be entered to win one of three sets of Jackson 100 tickets for the whole weekend. Those are being sponsored by Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee in the Fast Lane Productions and Throttled Up the Podcast. So you're getting an opportunity to win three sets of Jackson 100 tickets. Also, be looking at the Jackson 100. If you have those sets of tickets, if you are there at the Jackson, Bobby Bowling has been in contact with the O'Neill family, and there's going to be an autographed Hudson O'Neill door and an autographed Don O'Neill door. So an opportunity to win those. Again, thank you to Brownstown Speedway and everything them and Jim Price do for us. Again, Schaefer Photo and Custom Tee night this Saturday night. Don't miss it at the racetrack. Miller's Termite and Pest Control. There is not a better place to go look for your pest control or lawn care options. Billy Badfast Performance. If you're looking for racing supplies, new or used, please reach out to Billy Badfast Performance. P3 Graphics, your premier Indiana wrap and apparel, racing wrap and apparel company. Tommy Taylor at Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance. Please reach out to Tommy through Facebook or a text message, email. He is one heck of an insurance agent. Young kid getting in the business, but I'm going to tell you what, there's not a more personal touch you can get there. So
we're going to have our throttled up hats and T-shirts in the Schaefer Photo and Custom Tees booth this weekend also. So, you know, during the races, before the races, go in there and see Bobby. And if you're interested in our throttled up hats, T-shirts, come in there and see him. They'll be on sale there. So they'll be there also this week.
Moose asking you how my golf swing is looking.
Real good. Yeah. Real good.
All right. Well, again, thank you guys all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh.
all about that. Dirt, 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 I'm throwing. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, dirt, dirt,
gotta get back to
I'm
it.
A dirt trackaholic, call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, 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 dirt,
gotta get back to it.
I've been the Kenny Wallace of the rap game. Ever since I hit him with that dirt track thing. Now nationwide, everybody knows my name. They're like, mama, that's Kenny Montgomery. He sings that song we like. Yeah, boy, that's me. Roll out the trailer, I'm flossing. Them Hoosier tires glossing. Them cold kind, we're tossing. They know I came to wreck it, yet I rarely bring out a caution. I hit the high side. Boy, I park it for Brian Clausen. I do them like Kyle Larson. Watch me throw them sliders. Party in Victory Lane, and y'all boys ain't invited. Your mama gets excited when I pull up to unload. Even your grandpa talking about, man, that boy too cold. We don't sit on 24s, we don't ride on spinners. I'm posted up on them 15s with platinum dirt defenders. Got kids up in my window like, hey, Mo, are you gonna win it? Yeah, I hope y'all brought some stamps, cause y'all know I'm about to send it on it. Dirt, 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 I'm all about that. Dirt, 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 I'm throwing. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, dirt, dirt,
gotta get back to
I'm
it.
A dirt trackaholic, call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, dirt, dirt,
gotta get back to it.
I just won hot laps for the third week. Lil Dave said he thinks we're in the first heat. So I go and check the board on my bike. Sitting outside pole, y'all know what it's looking like. W, that's another George W. Hit him with that half a lap, like dang, what gear you running, dude? And where'd you get that fire suit? Man, I like that stitching. Velocity USA, hey, just tell Brad that I sent you. I'm shining like I'm rubbered up and I'm smiling for the pics. Y'all boys be looking tacky, why I stay looking slick. Four new rims, no new friends. They never know what I'm planning. And mama just gave me them eyes like, dang, baby, you looking handsome. We pray and sing the anthem. Nobody takes a knee. We stop and show respect, cause we're all proud to be. From the land of the free and the home of the brave, y'all better wake up and get it. We're making America great again. Let's all go out and kick it on it. Dirt, 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 I'm all about that. Dirt, 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 I'm throwing. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, dirt, dirt,
gotta get back to
I'm
it.
A dirt trackaholic, call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, 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 dirt,
gotta get back to it.